This morning is the fifth part in this series, Praise, Worship, and God's Anointing. And I'd like you to open first off to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now earlier this morning, I had encouraged you to get some paper and a pen. They were back there on the table. And those of you who are listening to this, you might want to go ahead and pause this playback long enough for you to get pen and paper so that you can participate with us. Then after you get your pen and paper, you know, you can start playing again from this point. In 1 John chapter 5, take a look at verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now, where it says the Word, that's talking about Jesus. So it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, or Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. God is a triune being. So when we talk about I worship God, essentially what we're saying is I worship God, my Father, God, Jesus Christ, and God, the Holy Spirit. Now, granted, we identify each of those aspects of God in different types of worship, different types of teachings, and so on, but we're still talking about one single God. We are not talking about three separate gods. There's only one God, and it says so right here. These three are one. Now, see, our human minds can't comprehend that. We don't understand how three distinct personalities represented in Scripture or portrayed in Scripture can be the same individual. And yet, that's the way it is. So when we talk about God and I say, I love you, God, we're also saying, I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. There is no difference. Now, on your paper, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write 10 things identifying who God is to you. Now, let me give you an example, and you can use this one if you want to. God is Father. Or God is Savior. As Jesus, He's Savior. So I've given you two. You don't have to use those if you don't want. But write 10 things identifying who God is to you. Now, as you do this, don't just think about, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. Make it personal. Who God is to you. Who God the Father is to you. Who God the Son is to you. Who God the Holy Spirit is to you. Who God is to you. Write down 10 things. 10 different things. And those of you listening, as we go through this today, each time that I say write something down, you can pause the recording and then start it again after you have written down the things you're supposed to write down. Now, I understand there are a whole lot more than 10 things that could be written down, but we'll just go with 10 right now. Later on, you could add more if you want to, but 10 things identifying who God is to you. And most of these, I realize, are just going to be one word descriptions, if you will. So I'm guessing you're pretty close to having all these 10 things written down. You may be thinking, well, you know, I couldn't think of 10. I could only think of 7. That's okay. Later on, you could add more to it because you will think of more later on. Okay, next. Write down 5 things God has done for you. For example, He saved me. So this doesn't have to be lengthy at all, just very brief statements. Write 5 things God has done for you. And this is for you. Nobody else, even though you know He's done a lot of things for other people, this is only and exclusively for you. 5 things God has done for you. Now, you don't have to put a whole lot of detail, such as, well, I remember the time that we were driving down to Summa, and then this big truck pulled. No. It doesn't have to be like that. That looks as though most people are about done on that one. So we're going to move on. And again, you can come back later and add to this. Next, write five promises God has made to you. Five promises God has made to you. Now, somebody might say, well, there are a lot of promises in the Bible that God has made. Well, that's true. But if He's made those promises in the Bible, then guess what? Those are promises to you. So write down five promises God has made to you. And each of these should only take, you know, a very few words. Five promises God has made to you. And again, these are very brief statements. They can be incomplete sentences. That's perfectly all right. Five reasons you love God. Now, everything that I have here this morning, again, this is going to be on the internet at our website as a PDF that you can download. And all the things that I'm having you write down, that is included on the PDF. So five reasons you love God. And I realize that somebody could say, well, yeah, but you know, I've got a lot more reasons than that, and I agree with you, so do I. But just five for right now. Five reasons you love God. Now, at this point on your paper, you've probably only used 25 lines on a full sheet of paper. That means you have however many lines are left on the front side of your paper, but then you have a huge portion on the back side of your paper, and you're going to need that. Because the next thing that we want you to do is, first off, you have written five things identifying who God is to you, or 10 things. 10 things identifying who God is to you. You've written five things God has done for you. You've written five promises God has made to you. And you've written five reasons you love God. Now, this next part, you are to write one paragraph, just a very brief one paragraph note to God. This is to God. It is not about God. It is to God, telling Him who He is to you and why you love Him. This is personal. You can address it as God or as Father or as Jesus or Holy Spirit or all three, however you want to do it. Write a one paragraph note to God telling Him who He is to you and why you love Him. So what we have then is 10 things identifying who God is to you, 5 things God has done for you, 5 promises God has made to you, 5 reasons you love God, and then a paragraph, something that you have written to God, a personal note to Him, telling Him who He is to you and why you love Him. Now, there's a reason for this, and it'll be very clear by the time we're finished. Turn over to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. I'll give you a moment to turn over there. Psalm 33, and we're just going to begin reading here in verse 1. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." That word comely means it's appropriate, it's the right thing to do, it is correct, it is in order, it is something that is just normal. It's not out of the ordinary. It should be the ordinary. So here we are, Psalm 33, verse 1. "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now turn over to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And in Psalm 96, once again we'll begin reading in verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Now, let me stop right here. As we go through and we're reading a lot of this, some of these things are probably going to remind you of songs that we've actually sung in church. So, again, Psalm 96, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Now turn to Psalm 98. And beginning in verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornets. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Now turn to Psalm 144. Psalm 144, beginning in verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of the great waters from the hand of the strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Now Psalm 149, beginning in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now look over in Psalm 40 or Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. And in Isaiah 42, we're going to begin reading in verse 10. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Now turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to pick this up in verse 8. Now I'll tell you what, let's just pick it up in verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And what's interesting is that, you know, in verses 9 and 10, I mean, it says they sung a new song saying, and then we're seeing the words of that song. Now, there's one common denominator in every passage of Scripture that we have read so far. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing a new song. What is a new song? Well, relative to what we're learning this morning, it's a new song. I mean, it's not too complicated. Sing a new song unto the Lord. One of the things that happens with people when you start talking about praise and worship, especially if you take away the overhead, meaning the words that are projected on a wall, or you take away the hymnal, suddenly people become tongue-tied, if you will. They don't know what to do, and when we enter into what I refer to as free worship, some people call it spontaneous worship, that's where we're worshiping, and there are no words to a song. We're just worshiping. A lot of people, they suddenly freeze, and they're not really sure what to do. Turn over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. When we were reading in the book of Psalms, it talked about sing a new song unto the Lord. And then in those Psalms, we begin to read things that God had done, or who God is, or how he moves, and so forth. Repeatedly, we saw that in those passages of Psalms. Now, as you go through the entire book of Psalms, over and over again, you're going to see references to God, who he is, his majesty, and his glory, and his mercy, and on it goes. But in the passages that we read, it said, sing a new song unto the Lord. Now, what's interesting is that in those passages where it says, sing a new song unto the Lord, what we're actually seeing are words to songs. Sing a new song unto the Lord, here's the song. We read them as verses. And yes, that's what they are. However, they were put to music. They were sung. Now granted, we're looking at it in English, which is a translation from the original language, so it may have made more sense as a song in the original language. I mean, I don't know. I didn't look that part of it up. But it says, sing a new song unto the Lord. So here we are today. Those passages that we read have nothing to do with living under the law. Do you understand what I mean by that? Meaning, under the law, the Lord saith unto the nation of Israel, sing a new song. No. The book of Psalms makes references to the law, or people living under the law, or to the children of Israel and so forth. But this whole concept of sing a new song unto the Lord is not related to unsaved people, or no, it's not restricted to unsaved Jews living under the law. It's sing a new song, O ye children, in the congregation, among the peoples, so on and so forth. Sing a new song unto him. A few moments ago, what I had you do, was write 10 things identifying who God is to you. I had you write 5 things God has done for you, 5 promises God has made to you, and 5 reasons you love God, and then I had you write a 1-paragraph note to God telling him who he is to you and why you love him. Do you realize that what you have just done is written the words to your love song to Jesus? You have just composed a song. The only thing missing is the music and your voice. You have just written your worship to God. Now, for example, these 10 things identifying who God is to you. I'll just read off 10 that I wrote down. Father, Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, Healer, Peace, Joy, Counselor, Comforter, King. Those are 10 that I wrote down. As I'm worshiping Him, I love you, Deliverer. You are my Deliverer. I love you, Father. You are my Father. I love you, Savior. You are my Savior. I praise you. I praise you, Peace, because you are my Peace. I praise you, Joy. You understand what I'm saying? I have written lyrics to a new song unto the Lord. In this room today, and those who are listening, and those who are watching and participating, new songs have been written all over the world. Right now, during this time. New songs have been written, and they're songs that have not been written by anybody else other than you. These are songs that have come out of your heart. You know, let me just read something to you. You don't have to turn to it. But in John chapter 4, in verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, "The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." You have just written the lyrics to your John 4, 23 and 24 worship. Because it's out of this you're able to worship Him, not just from your born-again spirit, but in the truth of who He is to you, and what He's done for you, and what He's promised you, and how you love Him. You have just written your method, if you will, of worshiping the Lord. Now here's what I'm getting at. When it comes time to worshiping God, these times of free worship, this is how you do it. Because He is Counselor. He is Comforter. He is King. He is Lord. He is all of these things and far much more. As I'm worshiping Him, I can address Him by all of those names, by all of those titles, by who He truly is. And then the things that He's done. Well, I'll read five that I wrote down. Saved me, healed me, forgiven me, restored me, provided. So I can add those into my song. Jesus, you are my peace. You have forgiven me. I love you. I praise you. You see what I'm doing here? Now, some of you may think, well, this is very simplistic. And for some of you who think that, well, it probably is, because when you've worshiped Him enough, it comes easy. You know what to do. But for a lot of people, this is so new, or because of emotions or feelings of insecurity or whatever it would be, people just back off on this. Well, this is an instrument that you can use for your worship. This is how you begin doing this. This is how you begin praising Him. And in that paragraph that you wrote to Him, you can sing that to Him. Because that is how David did it when he wrote the Psalms. When we read these Psalms, we're reading what he wrote out of what he thought, felt, believed in God. Who God was to him. He wrote these things down, and they're lyrics to songs that he sang. We don't know how those songs are sung. However, I suspect it's possible that when all is said and done, when the book of Revelation is over and done with, and we, all the saints of all the ages, are together for all eternity, it's very possible we will hear David sing some of those songs that he wrote that are recorded in Psalms. I think it's very possible we'll do that. It's recorded in Scripture, therefore it's the Word of God, therefore why would we not want to learn those? In fact, I have no doubt there's going to be a bunch of us go to David and say, "Would you please sing Psalm 64 for me?" This is our worship to Him. Now, in 2 Samuel 22, here's an example of this at work. In verse 1 it says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." Now listen to the words of this song. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Well, David, write down five things God is to you. Okay, I can do that. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. Are you seeing this process? The same thing that we've done today. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. All these things that we're reading here, that God, that David is saying, this is who God is to me. We need to understand this is who God is to us. This is a revelation of who God is and will be to us on a continual basis. Verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Have we not sung that in the past? And he says, well, in fact, go ahead for the sake of time. Jump over to verse 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my be the God of the rock of my salvation. Have we not sung that? It is God that avengeth me and bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto me, his seed forevermore. Put you in there, because that's who you are. He shows mercy to his anointed. Who is his anointed? Me. And I am his seed forevermore. Now I encourage you later on to go through and read all of 2 Samuel 22. Then you can also turn over, don't do it right now, but Psalm chapter 18 is a variation of 2 Samuel chapter 22. And as you go through and you read these, what you're reading is David having done essentially the exact same thing that we did today. We've written down things that God is to us, who He is to us, promises that He has made. And we could have included, who do you believe God will be to you? Just all different types of lists we could have come up with today. But what we've done is we have each of us written a love song to Jesus. Remember, we've sung the song here before. In moments like these, I lift up a song. I lift up a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I sing out a song. Or anyway, something like that. I sing out a song to Him. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. A love song to Jesus. You've just written a love song to God today. A love song to Him. This is your worship. This is what is in you. But it doesn't stop here. And we see this example that David has given unto us. And when you go through the book of Psalms, I mean, even in this passage in 2 Samuel and then over in Psalm 18, and as you go through the book of Psalms, you're going to see things in there. And when you read all of these things that speak about who God is and what He's done and identifying His great works and so on and so forth, think of this in terms of, this is what God has done for me. This is what God is doing to me or for me. This is who God is to me. Begin to see this. And then you can begin, when these things become more of a reality to you, you begin to incorporate those in your own worship. I thank you, Father, that you are the everlasting God, that you are my everlasting God. I thank you, Father, that I have a new name written down in glory, and I love you for this. I thank you, Jesus, for being my Prince of Peace. I worship you, O great healer. I worship you, risen Lamb of God. And on and on and on it goes. Because what happens when you begin to worship Him like this, when we take away, you know, the words, and you are just singing your love song, the things that you have written, And it's not restricted to what you've written. It goes far beyond this. But when you begin to do this, the reality of all of these things begins to hit home. And you begin to see this as a truth, not just a word, not just a declaration of something. The reality of it begins to hit home because he said he inhabits our praises. So if I'm praising him according to all of these things that I have written out of my heart and more, the reality of that is confirmed to me. And then the more that reality is confirmed to me, the more I have a confidence every day in my life that God is still all these things to me. Everything that I spoke and worshiped about him yesterday, he is today. And as you begin to incorporate these things in your worship throughout the week, this reality begins to sink in. And the fullness of who he is begins to work in us, and we begin to see beyond the situations and the circumstances of this world, and we begin to see the reality of the fact that, you know what, I may be in a physical body on this planet, but I am a citizen of the kingdom of Almighty God. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? That's an old song. This was done today to encourage you, to help you understand worship from a different perspective, to realize how that you have a worship song in you. You have a love song to your Father, to God. It's in you. And we just helped you write a few verses of it this morning. This is something that you can do on an ongoing basis if you want to. Every now and then sit down and this is who you are. But maybe you don't need this. What I mean is, maybe you're already well established in worship, and that's great. Praise the Lord. But for everybody here today, those here, those listening, those watching, even if you are well established, this was a good refresher. A very good refresher and an encourager relative to your worship. These handouts that are available as a PDF. Well, I'll just read one of the, you know, I've been putting prophecies on these as well. So to get the prophecies of praise and worship, they're on the PDFs. They're at the website along with the audio, the MP3 audio of the sermons. I'll just read this short one to you. It's titled Worship Opens Doors, and it was from December 6, 2006. Through your worship, you create a habitation for my presence. Through your worship, you open up a dimension of the Spirit wherein my glory is released. Through your worship, you open up the door for miracles. Through your worship, you open up the door for me to take up a seat in your presence, to dwell in your midst, to touch you with my compassion and my grace. Through your worship, you enter into the divine. For a heart that pours out its love and affection to me is a heart with which I fellowship. Praise God. That's just a sampling of what happens when we worship. And so I encourage you guys, go online and download these because these prophecies are there. And as we progress in this series, new or additional prophecies will be added, prophecies that we've received over the years relative to praise and worship. Praise God. So listen, I hope this has helped you today. Those of you listening, I hope that it's helped you as well. Those watching, likewise. Helped you to understand how to go deeper into this praise and worship and to make it very personal and to understand we really don't have to have the words to the songs we know. It's okay to do that. It really is. But it's also not wrong to come in and for the entire worship service, we're singing our personal love songs to Jesus.